This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
I'm Bayless.
And hey, we've got some special guests today. First of all, we've got Adrian.
Hi, nice to meet everybody. You know, good to be here.
And Gladius.
What's up, guys? Great to be on the show.
Awesome. Great to have you guys here. So, Adrian, you want to tell us a little bit about your self, especially how it relates to gaming?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, what can I say? I've been playing games my whole life. I feel that's very apparent for, you know, everybody else on this panel. But I guess I spent more time playing games by myself, just playing a lot of adventure games when I was younger. And then I became more invested in RPGs. Online games like Warframe, or I played a little bit of WoW when I was younger, so that's my big online experience. I'm playing first-person shooters online recently, so cool. That's my experience with the game.
Yes, he's one of those.
Console punk. And how about you, Gladius?
Oh, man. I've been playing online games since, geez, first grade or something like that. A long time. My first MMO that I really got into was Ashran's Call. And I think I was about 8 or 9 when I started playing that. And for those of you who have played, you know how complicated of a game that is. I loved it. And I'd always play with my dad, and I started on the Harvest Game Festival, or the Harvest Game server, and just had a great time. It's also where I first learned my interest for PvP, and that kind of grew from there. After Ashran's Call kind of died out, I played a lot of World of Warcraft during my formative years, and after that, I've played in different MMOs. I've played Rift. I've played a lot of Eve. What else have I played? I've played some Guild Wars 2. Like, I've sampled it all. And I really like community-driven experience of MMORPG.
Right on. Now, you're also a pen and paper player, I know.
Of some sorts, yeah. I have pretty limited experience with the pen and paper RPG, but I have a lot of enthusiasm, admittedly. Yeah.
You're still a renowned bard, I will say that.
Somehow.
Anyway, so today we want to talk a little bit about MMO communities, but first there's a subject I need to address. A couple weeks back, Bielis and I went on a rant fest about Magic the Gathering. I believe that's a game we have all played.
Actually, it should be called Pedophile the Gathering.
It's tough to read off those cards.
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's this YouTuber who got banned from Magic the Gathering online, and you know, they basically killed his DCI. He can't go to any events, all this, and he got mad. So he did some digging and found out that there was several. He found one, then another, found a bunch of pedophiles, convicted pedophiles, in the judges program, and some major players in the online and Magic community, going to events, things
what?
Like that, being around kids. Yeah, he eventually
That's
dug
insane.
Up 15 convicted pedophiles, and he reported
wow.
them to the judges program. He reported them to Wizards of the Coast. He reported them to Hasbro. He reported them to Channel Fireball, who runs most of the sanctioned events. And because he had been banned recently, they basically ignored him. They wouldn't listen to him. And eventually, Channel Fireball decided, because he was saying, hey, you know, guys, you need to do background checks. And there was a lot of pushback against it. They were saying, oh, you're just trying to destroy the community, blah, blah, blah. Well, when they found out, yeah, no, what he's saying is absolutely true. And the judges program tried to hide the pedophile judges that were on their rosters. But screenshots proved them
what?
Out. Yeah, they stripped them off of their webpage as if they didn't exist. So it was a pretty ugly scene. Well, first Channel Fireball came out and said, you know what, for our events, we're going to require that all the judges and whatnot, to anybody working there, to have a criminal background check. And that's great. But then Wizards of the Coast, maybe pushed by Hasbro, we don't know. But just a week or so ago, they announced at every single Magic event, everything from Friday Night Magic to the biggest organized events at the cons, whatever, every single person working those events, a volunteer at those events, a judge, whatever, doesn't matter, everybody will have a clean criminal background check or they don't work it. And if you're found to have if they find you to have a crimes against, sexual crimes against children, lifetime ban. Furthermore, all the stores that sell Magic the Gathering, they're required to now get criminal background checks on the owners and everybody that works there. And if they don't,
whoa,
they lose their WCN. They can't sell Magic anymore. So Wizards of the Coast, when they finally got their head straight, did the right thing and put their foot down, which they should have done weeks ago. They could have done it last June, yeah, when this first came up. Instead, they pushed it off onto other people and tried to say, oh, no, 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 it's not our problem. It's not our problem. Everybody was saying it was somebody else's problem. But now it's solved. So, yay.
I can guarantee you what happened.
Yeah.
The lawyers came in and said it doesn't matter if it's your problem or it's their problem. You're the one who's going to get sued.
Oh, yeah.
You're the one who's going to reach into your pocket and pay. So do something.
Yep.
That's some scorched earth policy there.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, it's good.
There's some people who are against it. Yes, there are actually people still against it. They're saying, oh, this is the death of organized play. You know what? Grow up. Pokemon requires the same exact thing. And there's Pokemon events all the time, right? Wasn't the death of their events the death of their organized play? So why couldn't it come to Magic? Oh, wait, there's a whole bunch of pedophiles in the community.
They don't want to lose their damn jobs.
Yeah. They're store owners going to lose their stores over this.
It honestly reads like straight out of a conspiracy theory.
I know. It's really, really weird. I mean, because I don't like the guy. It's Unsleeved Media on YouTube.
Oh, he's a total dirtbag.
Oh, he is. He got banned from Magic the Gathering for driving a female cosplayer out of the community. He doesn't think Magic events should have cosplayers. So he made fun of her and tormented her online until she finally said, screw it, I quit. And they went, fine. Hey, dude, screw it, you're gone. Because they've been trying to encourage cosplayers, you know?
It's free advertising. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. But anyway, in the end, it looks like things are going to get straightened out. So, yay! Although, Unsleeved Media, still banned.
Heroes always pay the price. Why did he get banned in the first place?
He drove a female cosplayer out of the community.
Harassed her to the point of...
Oh, I see.
She left.
Yeah. Yeah, online, did all kinds of stuff, and he still says, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong." No, you totally did. But that's okay. He found a serious problem in the community, and it got fixed. So, that's great.
Yeah, thankfully. That's so scary to think about, because I know... Like, I went to Magic events as a kid all the time. Like, even the big, like, pre-releases and tournaments and stuff like that. That's terrifying to think about. And it seems like it would be such a perfect hunting ground for them, too.
Jesus well, they Christ. Had a website, wasn't it, where they could... pedophiles were gathering there to learn how to become judges, because this was a great place for them to... Get around kids.
It was a message that had been spotted that I saw that was in amongst the evidence and whatnot. And it showed, it was like a meme that showed like clip art of an older guy leaning over a kid who's sitting at a table and says, hey, if you really love kids, become a magic judge. And
wow.
It was like, ew, ew.
There is nothing sacred in this world.
Not anymore.
No. I mean,
granted, the magic community hasn't always been ideal. This is just a whole new level.
Yeah.
But I would say that the thing that separates this community from like some other problems is at least this one's getting fixed, and it's getting fixed, you know, in a somewhat quick order, even though not as quick as most people would want it or I would want it, you know. At least it's a problem that's getting fixed with a very harsh and just treatment.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I do appreciate Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast just, you know, scorched earth policy on it. Just, you know, find everyone, leave no stone unturned, and get them all out. I mean, I feel like coming from like a CEO's point of view or a business point of view, that's the best way to regain faith and goodwill.
Yeah. And the thing is, it seems like they were like, you know, because there was a lot of pushback. Like I said, a lot of people saying, oh, Unsleeved Media, or Jeremy is his real name. I think since it's over, I can mention that now. They're like, hey, you know, this guy's just trying to destroy the community. He's just trying to make things hard on Wizards of the Coast. And then Wizards of the Coast says, nope, shut up and stomp. Just put their foot down. And it's basically, we may lose stores. We may lose places to sell our stuff, but we can always sell our stuff at Walmart and Target.
Yeah, it's not worth the risk.
Nope. But anyway, I just wanted to update people on that. So everything's good. Now... I noticed something recently. I play a lot of different MMOs. As you know, I'm playing World of Warcraft, Lord of the Rings Online, and Rift pretty regularly. Not Guild Wars 2. It seems like every community in these games is a little different. Like Lord of the Rings Online is very role-playing centric, very community-driven. There's almost no PvP community whatsoever, even though they can do PvP. But it's completely different from World of Warcraft, which has some of those elements, but seems completely driven towards progression. And Rift, even though they're barely hanging on by a thread, it's like they're trying to be WoW's little brother. Trying to be, oh, we can do progression too. Yeah, okay. You guys over there in the corner, you enjoy your little game. You know? And it seems these are all MMOs. They're all basically the same when you come right down to it. The same basic mechanics. There may be differences here and there, but you can PvP in all of them. PvE, raiding, all that. You have all these same features. Why are the communities so different?
Hmm.
Well, I can tell you.
Please do.
With World of Warcraft, and probably a lot of other games out there, they make you compete for certain obstacles, like mining nodes in WoW. There's a mining node. The first person there gets it, so they're going to fight to get it. That was partially to spawn, you know, PvP battles. Great. But you're causing even friendly players to have to compete with each other for these nodes. And so you have a less cooperative environment. Whereas with Guild Wars 2, you find a mining node, it's all yours. The next person who comes along gets their version of that mining node, etc. So there's no fighting over it. And so when you see a player who's in the middle of a big fight getting their ass handed to them, most other players jump in and help them kill the monster and then move on. Because, hey, it's everybody's cooperating. Everybody's helping everybody else out. I've seen people go way out of their way to res a player that got downed and then go back to what they were doing. Hell, I've done it on many occasions. That's a huge part of it. Some games are geared towards the whole community cooperating, and others have the community fighting with each other, even over small little things.
Yeah, and I feel to...
No, go ahead.
I feel to expand on that, you know, with your point, I find it very good, but I would say also a lot of the difference between these games is people are attracted usually to... When I played WoW, I was more attracted to gaining loot more than anything else, more than raiding, more than, you know... I know raiding gives you loot and stuff, but I was more attracted to just getting loot, not going for raids and buffing my character up so I can do harder stuff. And so when I played a game like Warframe, which is mission-based and it's more about just getting items and trying to get new and different rare mods for your Warframe chassis, they call them. It's your character that you play. That was more in tune with what I wanted, and that was more in tune with like what my friends play. So it was more cooperative and more towards just getting items rather than trying to beat big bosses or other things like that.
I'd like to expand on a point that Beolus mentioned earlier, specifically about like the example where you have one person trying to get the mining node and then you have another person and they fight. I think that principle of resources and scarcity of resources is a huge like dividing difference in a lot of games in their cultures. Like, for instance, Ashen's Call had a very sort of unique loot system and faction system. For instance, there's a PvP server specifically where basically everyone and anyone can kill you. So you can have a level 1 player get killed by a level 100 player, you know, just like that. And that's just what happens. And one of the things that happens with Ashen's Call is when you die, you drop items that are on your person, depending on how valuable they are. Sometimes that might be something that you're wearing, or that might be like a really powerful item that you've been using. And that can especially happen when another player kills you. So you can get killed by a higher level player and lose your best leveling weapon right there. And that sort of incentive drives, it was kind of like Gangland. And Darktide was a server that I played on, but it was kind of like a Gangland, because people, even your own, you could kill your own clan members just as easily and take their stuff. And that was rampant within the game. You know, you would have people who who would join these clans and guilds and get really deep inside, and then they would kill a character and take all the stuff or what have you. And, you know, that of course seems like it would be a bad thing, but on the flip side, in turn, that created a lot of very strong bonding things. Like, there were people who played on that game for years on end and stayed like that. And it creates, I think that sort of environment allows people to also have that bonding experience within a community.
Yeah. I also think it has, that was my thought. I think it has something to do with the storylines in these games. I mean, for example, Rift, I'm sure some of you have played it, but its lore is there. There's lore to it, but it is very confusing and really not that well written. I like it, but I don't pay attention to it. I don't read the quests. I don't follow the stories that much because they just kind of go off and do this and that, and it's not like World of Warcraft, which has a good story. It's not like Lord of the Rings Online, which has, oh, I don't know, the best lore of any game ever. And it seems like the better the story is, you get people more interested and focused into the game and into the community. I mean, EverQuest 2, it has a huge amount of lore to play off of from the original game. But their community sucks because it wasn't implemented well in the second game.
What do you think is a better model for creating a community? Like something like WoW, where a lot of it is not necessarily handed to you, but streamlined. You know, it's streamlined for the player experience. It's kind of linear in that regard. So something like that, or something more open and sandboxy, like Eve. I would say Eve and World of Warcraft are kind of polar opposites in that regard.
Oh yeah.
Just because, you know, they make the story, especially in Eve. I've tried to get into Eve a lot. In fact, I've been paying up for a subscription and just building skills in a character. Haven't even really been playing him, but I just love the social aspects of the game. People really get into the lore because they create the lore. You know, there's an entire history within that game entirely created by players.
Well, I would say Eve is great for that, which is kind of odd, actually, because most sandbox games completely don't have a well-driven community, but everything is driven by the players in Eve, and they've really pushed that for years, so it's built itself into one of the great communities. But Lord of the Rings Online also has this great community, I believe, not only because of the lore, but because the players never fight. You can't play a player versus a player in that game. If you want to do PvP, you have to play against monster players. At level 10, you can create an evil, you know, a monster character out of certain archetypes, like an orc or a warg or something like that. And you can use that to fight against players, or you can play a player and go fight against the monster players in one zone. There's now two, but they have very limited PvP. Everybody is built, their whole game style is to cooperate. Other than these two zones that you go into only if you're to PvP, period. So that really has driven a good community, that along with the lore. So I think that and Eve actually are kind of opposites from each other, but achieved the same thing.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I don't know. I played Lord of the Rings Online for a while, and I never once saw that good community. I saw a whole bunch of bored people who, if they saw you in trouble, they didn't bother to help. They just went about their way.
Hmm. That's, you know, odd. Which server were you on, though?
I don't remember. It's been like 6 years.
Okay, because usually the players are very, very friendly, and, you know, maybe they, you know, only wait till you ask. If you want, you ask for help, they don't want to interfere if you're doing things on your own and you don't mind dying. I've had that happen, but whenever I've asked for help, boom, I've got help.
Yeah. And, you know, with a lot of, like, say, World of Warcraft, the talk channel is just filled. People are talking all the time. Constantly just updated with new comments, right?
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, every 10 minutes or so, maybe somebody would say something.
Son, you were on the wrong server.
It was supposedly a full server, and nobody said a damn thing.
That's odd, because I play on multiple servers, and there's always people talking. So
it was just, I don't know, dull. Not to shoot down your game, I'm glad you enjoy it, but my experience was absolute boredom.
No, that's fine. I'm not into your game either.
That's fine. You've mentioned that on many occasions.
Anyway, so we're getting towards the end. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to this or the Magic discussion?
Well, I think out of all the games I've played, Guild Wars 2 has the best community. And I dare you to say that they have a bad community. See?
Ugh! I don't want to start a fight. So...
I will just say that my phone cut out when you said that, so I actually didn't hear anything.
Aha. Uh-huh. I was just daring, Skormus to say that Guild Wars 2 has a bad community.
Oh, don't do that, man. That sounds like a trap. You know Beolus.
No, I can't, because he's right. People come to your aid. They might be dicks about it, but they come to your aid.
I have run across very few people who behaved like a dick there.
How about you, Adrian? You got anything to add?
I was just thinking about how interesting it is, wondering about the type of people that World of Warcraft, you know, attracts, and the type of people... another type of people that EVE Online attracts, because of how different they take their stories. Like, what type of person, you know, gets compelled by and wants to play a game with a more thought out story like World of Warcraft, rather than make their own story with EVE Online. And I'm just thinking, you know, with Jason, I know Jason, Elf, the sorry. I'm sorry. Just slipped
wrong again.
Gladius.
I'm sorry.
Grand Gladius. My cover's been blown.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we did that on another episode where we were using real names left and right.
We were really tired. We'd recorded, like, what, 3 shows in a row? So.
I'm going to get doxed.
Gladius.
Thanks, man.
You're going to know where you live. They're going to know, you know, your blood type and everything. But...
my fears and my wants. Yeah, all that stuff. Because I put it all out there on the internet. Just this specific occasion.
Okay, so guess that's it. Till next time, I'm Skormus.
I'm Beolus.
I'm Adrian.
And I'm Gladius.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.